The holidays are all about sharing with family. Meals, couches, stories, grandma's secret pecan pie recipe. And now, you can also share a cart with Instacart's family carts. Everyone can add what they want to one group cart from wherever they are. So you don't have to go from room to room to find out who wants cranberry sauce, or who should get mini marshmallows for the yams, or collecting votes for sugar cookies versus shortbread. Just share a cart and then share the meals and the moments. Download the Instacart app and get delivery in as fast as 30 minutes. Plus, enjoy free delivery on your first three orders. Service fees and terms apply.
I'm Jenna Fisher.
And I'm Angela Kinsey.
And together we have the podcast Office Ladies.
Just because we finished rewatching The Office does not mean we're going anywhere.
Every Wednesday, we'll be sharing even more exclusive stories from The Office and our friendship with brand new guests. Plus, you can revisit all the Office Ladies rewatch episodes every Monday with new bonus tidbits before every episode.
So follow and listen to Office Ladies on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Helping you test your headphones.
Yeah, no, they work. I forgot to turn them down after I got it fixed.
You're welcome.
Yeah. And I got John Denver in my head now. And will for the rest of the day. You understand what it's going to be like to be out on the ice later trying to get 6,000 people hyped up about a hockey game and be like, Greenfield. Swamp rabbit! Sunshine on my shoulder makes me happy.
I was going to play Sundown, but you
can't
know,
wait.
That wouldn't have worked because it's sunshine, yes.
Can't wait. Ladies and gentlemen.
His long flowing gold hair, his box guitar.
Rocky Mountains aren't very rocky, are they? That John Denver was full of crap. That's Dumb and Dumber. Great movie.
Okay. Legendary. All right. Still haven't seen it.
Yeah, no, I know. That's why I said it's Dumb and Dumber, because I knew you were in the dark on that one. Hey, it's hour number two. It's the money hour of the Rob Brown Show here on the Fan Upstate, which means you got less than an hour until you got to get to the office. You got less than an hour until you got to sit down at the computer. You got less than an hour until you got to respond to those passive aggressive emails that you've got to send out. You got to tell the boss, no, I'm not working at 7:30. I'm done at 5, okay? You pay me to be here till 5. I'm here till 5. Stop asking me. I'm not doing it, all right? And then once you're done with that, you're going to stand up. You're going to walk down the hallway. You're going to go to the break room. You're going to pour yourself glug, 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 a nice little cup of water. Or you're going to, maybe if you're like Zoe and I, who definitely don't break the rules by having cold drinks available to us at any time of the day. You're going to pull, your favorite soda, your favorite Coke product out of the cooler, all right? You're going to twist it open, and then you're going to talk sports with your coworkers. Probably today, I would guess, probably Phil from maintenance. Good dude, Phil. Like Phil a lot.
Also hates the sun.
Also hates the sun. You know why? Because the drive into work is in the east. I got to drive east, and when I'm driving into east, you know what happens? My freaking windshield, it's just full of sun. I'm staring it right in the face. And do you know what I can't see when the sun is blinding me in the face? Anything. I can't see anything. And when I can't see anything, I can't succeed at anything.
Of course, he wouldn't do all that because that would draw attention and bring the boss down wanting to know what's going on. And then he wouldn't be able to talk about more sports.
Exactly. But you know what we did here at the studio, at the Radio Ranch? Because the sun shines brightly in here and it's hard to do your job when the sun's glaring in your eyes, we put shades up. Not just shades. We have multiple levels of shade. We got a screen on the outside and we got blinds on the inside.
No, the thing that really stopped the sun is when we put our pictures up there. That's what stops the sun.
Yeah, now everything shines outwards. Ka-chow. Water cooler cheat. Much like a real one, I love it when it slips through. It just feels right.
So disappointed in myself right now.
It just feels good, you know? It just feels right. It's Water Cooler Cheat Sheet, top 3 sports stories that you need to know before you get to the office this a.m. and start talking sports with your coworkers. When you do, this is what you're going to be talking about. Let's dive right in with item numero uno. Your college football playoff rankings are out, ladies and gentlemen, and they stack up in the following way. The Oregon Ducks, surprising to exactly no one in the listening audience, are the number one team in the country. They are 10-0 out of the Big Ten, and they are number one in the nation, in the college football rankings anyway. The Ohio State Buckeyes check in at number 2, Texas number 3, and Penn State rounds out your top 4. 3 of the top 4 teams in the college football playoff rankings are Big Ten teams. The SEC has number 3 inside the top 4 with Texas. The Big Ten then adds another team, number 5, Indiana. 10-0 undefeated, jumps up 3 spots to number 5 in the rankings. BYU sits 1 spot back at number 6. The Tennessee Volunteers remain in the same spot from last week. They get jumped by Indiana and BYU. They fall 3 spots back to number 7. The Notre Dame Fighting Irish are number 8 in the country, up a couple of spots. Why are they up a couple of spots? Well, they jump Miami, who falls 5 spots down to number 9. Alabama, number 10 at 7-2, up 1 spot. The Ole Miss Running Rebels are 8-2, and they are also number 11 in the country, up 5 spots. Down 9 slots are the Georgia Bulldogs. They fall down to number 12, 1 spot ahead of 8-1. Boise State, who do fall 1 spot, mainly because if you're going to have a schedule like Boise State's, you got to dominate it. They did not dominate the Nevada Wolfpack, and it cost them. Down outside of the top 12 to number 13. SMU is down 1 spot as well, down to number 14. So is Texas A&M, down to number 15, up 3 spots. The Kansas State Wildcats, the number 16, up 3 spots. The Colorado Buffaloes check in at number 17. And we are going to talk about this here in just a few minutes. But there is a path for Colorado and Boise State for one or the other to get a first round bye over the SEC conference champion. We'll talk about that coming up in a minute. Colorado number 17, Washington State number 18, is number 19 at 6-3, up 3 spots. Also up 3 spots, the Clemson Tigers check in at number 20, just 1 spot ahead of the number 21 team, the South Carolina Gamecocks. They are 6-3, and just like I told you last week, you knock off Vanderbilt, you'll be ranked in the playoff rankings next week. That comes out to be correct. South Carolina at number 21, 1 spot ahead of the team that beat them. Heads up, LSU number 22 falls 7 spots after they get demoralized by the Crimson Tide in Baton Rouge, Louisiana last weekend. Mizzou up a spot to 23, Army up a spot to 24, and the Tulane Green Wave find themselves at number 25 in week number 2 of the college football playoff rankings. We're going to be talking a little bit about that coming up here in just a few minutes from right now. Let us get to item number 2. Listen, this is not anything to me that is a story. It is a story. It is something I have been asked about between the text line and the chat 5 times so far this morning. And it is something that I think needs to be discussed because maybe it's a distraction. I don't know. According to WYFF Channel 4, the brother of Clemson head football coach Dabo Swinney has been sentenced after pleading guilty to sexual exploitation of a minor. Henry Ervil Swinney III was arrested and charged with third-degree sexual exploitation of a minor back in April of 2022. The investigation started after Pickens County Sheriff's Office received 2 cyber tips from the National Center for Missing and Exploited Children about Swinney, according to Robert Kittle with the South Carolina Attorney General's Office. Henry Swinney was sentenced to 4 years in prison with credit for 15 days' time served already. Kittle said Swinney also consented to the forfeiture of the devices that contain child sexual abuse material and will have to register as a Tier 2 sex offender upon release. Henry Swinney was also arrested in Florida back in January 2016 and charged with aggravated stalking. YFF News reported that story back in 2016. At the time, Dabo Swinney said, quote, "I think the only sad thing is it's a story because he's my brother. You know, if it was Joe Schmo, then you're not asking me that question." Back in 2016, Henry Swinney was sentenced to $400 fine and 35 hours of community service, according to the Associated Press. I mean, a couple of things. Number one, I have a bit of a reaction. I didn't know this was a thing. Now, back in 2016, I was broadcasting down in Florida, wasn't connected to the program like I am now. My reaction to Sweeney's quote is, yes, Dabo, that's usually how this works. I'm not going to go through the mugshot, find a guy you don't know and are not related to, and come ask you about him the next day. Hey, coach, John Smith got arrested for going 90 in a 55 yesterday. What are your thoughts on that? Yeah, that's not a thing. You're not connected to that. You are connected to this. It is your brother. Now, I am also going to go one step further and say this isn't a Clemson story, all right? Like, is it sad? Yeah. Should Henry Irvell Sweeney III go away for a very long time? Yeah. I'm good with all of that. There is only one sports angle to this story, and that sports angle is this any sort of distraction to the Clemson Tigers? Because they got a big one this weekend. They're taking on the Pitt Panthers. This is a team that if Clemson loses another game in the ACC, which is this one, they are officially cooked. They will be out of the ACC race, and they will be leaning on an at-large. Here's the problem. If Clemson loses another game, period, they will be out of the hunt for an at-large bid as well. Clemson's ability to make the playoff circles around dubs every one of the remaining weeks on the regular schedule. That's all it is. Every week, Clemson takes a dub. If they do not, and I am including South Carolina in rivalry week football, every week that Clemson fails to get a W, or any week that Clemson fails to get a W, they are eliminated from the playoffs. And so, in this case, it is fair to ask, would this be a distraction to Dabo Sweeney? Is this something that takes any time off his plate? I have to imagine no. This has been something that he's obviously had in his mind since the arrest back in 2022. This is obviously something that has been, if it's on his place at all. And again, I do not know what, if any, relationship there is between Dabo Sweeney and Henry Irvell Sweeney III. I don't know if they're close. I don't know what. I can tell you I've got family members that I'm not associated with anymore, that I'm directly related to, but I'm not associated because they've done dumb things and continue to do dumb things that I refuse to allow in my bubble. I refuse to allow in my safe space. Okay? So I don't know if there's any connection. And if there's not, then this is a non-story. Is it unfortunate in that it happened? Yes. Is it unfortunate in that there were child victims? Yes. Is it unfortunate in that it's bad for society at large? Yes. Is it a story when it comes to Clemson football? I doubt it. Do I think Dabo had anything to do with it? Obviously, hell no. And the folks that are texting the text line and saying that they are, that he does, stop. Stop wasting your text and my time, okay? There's not a fiber of my being that thinks that that is worth the energy it took you to slide your fingers around the keypad to type out that text. It's a crap story and it sucks. There's nobody that's like this. There's nobody thinking this isn't a tragic story. Okay. But as it is a sports station, and as we do talk about sports, I think it is fair to ask the question, would this be a distraction for Dabo Sweeney at a point in time where if Clemson is looking for a playoff berth, and they are, there is no room for error? I think that's a fair question to ask, and I'm going to tell you this. There is only one person in the world who can answer that question, and that's Dabo Sweeney. And I suspect he ain't going to say much about it, probably nothing at all. He'll get asked about it. He'll give another one of these responses. Oh, it's sad you're bringing this up to me. You're only bringing it up because he's related to me. Yeah, that's how it works. And then it goes away. Okay? So it feels like, because of the amount of you that have been blowing up my text line this morning asking about it, It feels like it's justifiable to put in this spot. Do I think it's a story? No, not really. Not really. Item number three. I was unsure about where to go with item number three. It's going to be a game result. And the question mark was going to be, what game do I go with? Duke and Kentucky played a spectacular game last night of college basketball over in Atlanta, Georgia. Kentucky gets the better of the Duke Blue Devils. A game that Duke led the overwhelming majority of the game. Kentucky put together a nice little rally at the end. And Cooper Flagg, who had a phenomenal game, made a couple of brain farts. Had two turnovers in the final minute that allowed Kentucky to finish him off. But I can't go with that one. The New York Knicks knock off the Philadelphia 76ers. The return of Joel Embiid from injury and suspension after shoving that journalist, editorialist, 3 games ago. The Knicks get the better of Joel Embiid. I got thoughts on Joel Embiid, but I can't do that. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm going to take you to hockey because when records get set, when history gets made, as a sports fan, I'm in. The Winnipeg Jets made NHL history last night, a 6-3 win at the New York Rangers at Madison Square Garden, and they become the first team in the history of the National Hockey League to win 15 of their first 16 games. Mark Scheifele put up a pair of goals last night. He said, you play at MSG, you got to put on a show. It feels amazing. Obviously, it's been a great start for us, but tonight's over. Enjoy the win. And then back to work. The Jets have been the hottest team in the league, and it's not particularly close. They became the fourth team since 1967 to lead the NHL in goals for and against per game through their first 15 games. They have scored 5 or more goals in half of their games, and their 73 goals this season are the third most by a team in its first 16 games over the past 30 years. The Jets moved to 7-0 on the road. They have scored 36 goals away from Winnipeg, the most in NHL history for the 9 teams that have won their first 7 road games. Again, if you're thinking about getting into hockey, if you're thinking that this sport might hold some intrigue for you and you want to see what good offensive hockey looks like, the Winnipeg Jets are it right now. Good defense, too. Real good defense. Real good defense. Best defense in the league. But they are scoring goals in bunches. If you want to see if hockey is the sport for you, the Winnipeg Jets are the team to watch. Carolina Hurricanes ain't bad either. They're on a heater. They've dropped 1 out of the last 10 games. That team's really good. But Winnipeg right now is just on a different level. All right. Hey, speaking of hockey, coming up at 8:35 this morning, Mark Benetti, the voice of the Greenville Swamp Rabbits, is going to join us. The Bits have a 10:30 a.m. game today at the Bonscore Wellness Arena. We'll talk to him about that and where the Rabbits are in the season. Denton Day, who hosts SiriusXM's College Football Overtime, is coming up today at 7:40. We'll talk to Denton Day here in just a couple of segments when we come back. Heather Dinich, who I adore, said something yesterday on ESPN that got me hot under the collar, and not in a good way. I'll tell you what it is when we come back on the Rob Brown Show and the Fan Upstate. For this segment, poof. And a story that many, most all of you, I assume, are tired of hearing about. I have told you over and over and over that I absolutely believe the reason that the Alabama Crimson Tide got into the college football playoff last year over the undefeated ACC champion Florida State Seminoles was very simple. Because the powers that be who make those decisions, we're not going to have a playoff without a Southeastern Conference team involved. It's too big of a brand to not have into the game. And most, if not all of you, have learned at this point, and if you haven't, I wish to live in the world that you live in. Many, if not most of you, I assume at this point have learned that college football puts money first. Okay? Just end of conversation. They do. So, That only tracks to lead you to the belief that if the money comes first, they want the most profitable matchups possible on television in the playoffs, the most watched portion of the college football calendar. Which is why I have said in years gone by that I believe, in years gone by, Florida State got bumped and Alabama got in. Because that team was the representation of the Southeastern Conference in the college football playoff for the final year of 4 years, of four teams. Well, there's something interesting that happened yesterday. Yesterday, I was watching the Pat McAfee show. And part of the reason why was because Heather Denich was on. I love Heather. I think Heather has done a phenomenal job. I have followed Heather Denich since she covered the ACC exclusively for the Four Letter. She has in recent years jumped up to become one of their primary talking heads and can regularly be found on all of their college football programming, on SportsCenter, yada, yada, yada. Yesterday, she was on McAfee's show. And McAfee asked the question about conference dominance by the Big Ten and the Southeastern Conference. And Heather Denich said something that got the wheels turning. So, Heather Denich says, I would not be shocked if a three-loss Southeastern Conference team gets in and checks in somewhere, again, around where Georgia is right now, ranked number 12 in the final college football playoff rankings.
Ooh, I know one of those teams.
That could get in ranked it with three losses?
Well, that has three losses that's in the SEC.
I'm glad you brought it up. Because I'll have you notice something else that Heather did at the end of that. Did you notice what she did when she said, but wait, not all three-loss SEC teams are created equal? Why, Heather? Why not? Because, see, if you're going to tell me that if Georgia loses to Tennessee, which, if Nico Amialava does play, could be a possibility. Could be. By the way, the Bear from Fox yesterday said that he's got inside info that says Nico will not play this weekend against Georgia. If he doesn't play, Georgia's not losing. But if Nico plays, Georgia could lose that game. So, here's my question to Heather Denich, who, again, I like a lot. I'm a big fan, sincerely. I think she dropped that, but not all three-loss SEC teams are created equal on there, because I think the realization hit that not only is South Carolina a three-loss team, but South Carolina could be a three-loss team that has a win over a top 25 team whose only losses come to top 25 teams, and if they went out to reach 9-3, would end the year with another top 25 win. So they would have a top 10 win. They would have, assuming Clemson upholds their end of the bargain, a top, at that point, probably 18 win.
I was going to say two more ranked wins are a possibility because Missouri's
ranked. Oh, that's right. Yeah. That's right. So South Carolina would, theoretically, if they win out, and Mizzou obviously can't lose before they play, and Clemson doesn't lose again, that would give South Carolina a loss to, at the time, number 16, at the time, number 12, and at the time, number 7. It would give them wins over, I want to make sure I get all these right, number 10, Texas A&M, number 23, Mizzou, and number, right now, 20, Clemson. But if this matters, because Clemson does not lose between here and there, probably I would say number 16, number 15, somewhere in that range.
By the way, and they lost to Alabama by 2 points.
And they lost to LSU by one score.
By three.
Yeah.
So, I mean,
the only bad loss they have is getting blown out by Ole Miss. And by the way, Ole Miss going to be a top 10 team by the end of this weekend, right? So the point here is, if Heather Dinich is going to tell me Georgia could get in with three losses. Not with any, like, crazy trickeration, right? Not, oh, well, if there's a 9-team tie in the SEC and this goes that way and that goes this way and yada, yada, yada. Then why not South Carolina? Because the brand matters, dude. This is what I've been drumming on about since last year. The brand matters as much as the results on the field. This is what has been in my craw since last year. As far as I'm concerned, the selection committee put up a friggin' billboard that says your brand matters as much as your performance on the football field. End of discussion. And Heather, as far as I am concerned, confirmed that yesterday when she said, don't sleep on a three-loss Georgia team getting in. And my response to that would be, if a three-loss Georgia team gets in, and let's just, for the funsies, let's take a look at Georgia. Georgia has a loss to number 4. Georgia has a loss to number 16. And if Georgia drops again this weekend to Tennessee, that would be to number 7. South Carolina and Georgia, when it all comes down to it, would have, as far as I'm concerned, the same quality of losses. 16, 12, and 7 to 4, 16, and 7. Georgia, you could argue, is a little bit better. Georgia's wins come over number 14, ranked wins, come over number 14, Clemson, and over number 1, Texas. So they have the better wins with 14 and 1, but South Carolina has one more top 25 win. Georgia has one ranked team remaining. That's number 7, Tennessee. South Carolina has 2 ranked games remaining. That's number 23 and number 20. So if those dubs come down to matter, and this is a team that can get in, South Carolina would have wins over 10, 23, 16, 23, and 20. Georgia would have wins over 14, 1, and 7. So why would Georgia get the nod as a three-loss team? Why would they get the nod as a three-loss team? And by the way, somebody said Kentucky was ranked. Not when they played Georgia. Not when they played Georgia. They were not. That was the third week. Georgia beat. And by the way, Georgia beat them by a point, 13-12. Same team that South Carolina beat, what was it, 31-7 the final in that one? Right? So my point here is, why in the world would she be making the argument that three-loss Georgia out of the SEC would be allowed in, but not make the argument that three-loss South Carolina would get in, and not only not make the argument, but immediately throw the dice out there and say, oh, by the way, I blanked. Was Vanderbilt not ranked when South Carolina beat him?
Yeah, and on the stream, Mike is pointing out that Kentucky was ranked when.
Yeah.
When South Carolina.
But not when Georgia did.
And so, I mean, every year they say South Carolina has one of, if not the toughest schedule in college football. Does that come into play also? The fact that they have such a tough schedule.
But that's exactly my point, is if you're going to make the argument that three-loss Georgia should go in because SEC schedule, then three-loss South Carolina should be nipping at their damn heels, but they're not. Why? Because Georgia's got the brand value and South Carolina doesn't. No other reason. Please tell me what the other reason is. Because the schedule's harder for South Carolina than Georgia. It's a tougher schedule. They've got the same amount of losses if Georgia loses to Tennessee. If they don't, none of this matters. But if Georgia loses to Tennessee, then give me a bleeping reason that three-loss Georgia would get the nod, but three-loss South Carolina wouldn't. There is only one reason. And it's because the dogs have brand value and the Gamecocks don't. So, all of you guys that have been going for a year, stop it, Rob. Stop it. You're just butthurt. You're just this. You're just that. South Carolina fans, it's biting you square in the ass right now. This is why I said it ain't about a team that I covered, didn't cover, like, don't like. None of that matters. What matters is it can happen to you. And here we are, Gamecocks. You've got a national presence saying, well, if they lose three and they lose three, they get to go, but you don't. Why? Well, you're not all created equal. Right. South Carolina's had a harder road to get to three losses. So why not them? Brand value. Book it. Denton Day. We'll ask him about this next on the Rob Brown Show in the Fan Upstate.
Why get all your holiday decorations delivered through Instacart? Because maybe you only bought two wreaths, but you have 12 windows. Or maybe your toddler got very eager with the advent calendar. Or maybe the inflatable snowman didn't make it through the snowstorm. Or maybe the twinkle lights aren't twinkling. Whatever the reason, this season, Instacart's here for hosts and their whole holiday haul. Get decorations from the Home Depot, CVS, and more through Instacart and enjoy free delivery on your first three orders. Service fees and terms apply.
I'm Jenna Fisher.
And I'm Angela Kinsey.
And together we have the podcast Office Ladies.
Just because we finished rewatching The Office does not mean we're going anywhere.
Every Wednesday, we'll be sharing even more exclusive stories from The Office and our friendship with brand new guests. Plus, you can revisit all the Office Ladies rewatch episodes every Monday with new bonus tidbits before every episode.
So follow and listen to Office Ladies on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Every single Wednesday at this time, we welcome into the show a young man that I had the pleasure of meeting by sharing the airwaves on the BetQL network. You can find him there. I've had the pleasure of doing some other pods and interviews with him. He is also the host of College Football Overtime on Sirius XM and a host on 106.7 The Fan. He is the illustrious Denton Day joining us here on the show. What's up, big dog?
What up, fellas? How we doing? Everybody enjoy the rankings last night?
You know, I did, Denton Day. I really did. But, and we're going to come to those in a minute, because I got to ask, as we have been doing every Wednesday, what's your gripe? We all got to have one. Welcome to Sports Talk Radio. It's a place where we get to moan and complain and make other people listen to our grievances against the world. But, Denton Day, we were just having a conversation in the last segment that I would like to bring you in for. Now, I ordinarily wouldn't play a clip and ask you to respond, but I'm going to. Heather Dinich of ESPN, of whom I am a big fan, was on the Pat McAfee show yesterday, and she said this. And after she's done, I'm going to ask you a question. I want your thoughts. All right, let me give you my thoughts on this, Denton Day. As far as I'm concerned, this proves to me that the College Football Playoff Selection Committee, or at least ESPN, who's a major motivating factor of it, takes brand power into consideration. Because if you're telling me that a three-loss Georgia team can get in, there is no reason that a three-loss South Carolina team that has a more difficult schedule objectively would not be allowed in. The only difference I have is Georgia's a national brand and South Carolina's not. Am I wrong somewhere?
No, I don't think so. You know, I definitely think they take into consideration brand, and I would argue that in certain instances they should take into consideration brand, although I would point out there are a couple flaws in what Heather said, and I'm like you, Rob. I love Heather Dinch. We've had her on our show a couple of times. She's the best. But, the biggest thing, so she said that there's been three loss teams that are ranked in the top 12 in previous years, and while that is correct, that is factual, you have to take into consideration that now you are ranking those differently. I'm not saying that the College Football Playoff Committee gives up after you get to four, but they kind of do to an extent. Like there's really no rhyme or reason, no pain in the difference of a 13 and an 11 in that instance, because it doesn't really matter. Maybe it adjusts the New Year's Six bowl games, but let's be honest, teams don't really care about bowl games that much anymore. So I think when you're taking into consideration that you're now ranking for the playoff, you do look at certain teams a little differently. I would also argue, and maybe I would defend Heather in this, in that she made these comments before we found out that Nico Y's not going to play. Because if Georgia loses to a Tennessee team without Nico Y, they're not getting in. They only have one really, really quality win, and that's Texas. You might be able to argue the Clemson thing, but the Clemson thing really doesn't look as good now as it would have 2 weeks ago because of how they played recently. There's not enough on their schedule that you can point to and say, despite the fact that this team would have lost three games, they are still deserving to get into the College Football Playoff. Their offense is bad. Carson Beck is not a great quarterback right now. He's turning the ball over on a really almost a historic clip for a guy that still has a job as QB1. So there's nothing about Georgia that I've watched in the previous weeks and said, this is definitively a college football playoff team, regardless of what their record says.
I could not agree more. I think Carson Beck, I said coming into this year, the list that, as far as I'm concerned, if you listed Carson Beck as one of your top three quarterbacks to draft next year, you immediately caught the unfollow on Twitter. That's how bad of a take that was for me. There's nothing about this Georgia team. It's a good team, but they don't scare me like they did in years gone by, which is why I circle back around to. And I know the folks, even the folks at the BetQ1 Network, Cody Decker, my co-host on Saturdays, has gotten frustrated with the fact that I have made the argument for the last year, Bama got in last year because they didn't want to do a college football playoff without an SEC brand. If the exact same situation was reversed and it was Bama that was under, but there's no chance they get left out where Florida State did. And this to me is just, it's just more evidence of that. If she is genuinely out there as a mouthpiece with influence, saying a three-loss team should get, if Georgia's a three-loss team, they would get in. And I agree. Credit for her making this statement before Nico Y. But even if Nico did play, if Georgia loses to Tennessee, I have zero reason they would have any justification to go in before a three-loss South Carolina team. And I got zero reason that either one of those teams should go in, period.
I mean, you might be able to argue that a three-loss South Carolina team could get in, because if you look at what their schedule has looked like, they have that win over Texas A&M, which was an absolute beatdown, as you guys know, and then they would have a win against Missouri and Clemson potentially. So if South Carolina runs the rest of the gauntlet, yeah, like they would need help, certainly, but Georgia losing helps them. You know, I think we learned a lot by the committee placing Georgia at 12. That, to me, is saying the Tennessee game is an elimination game, because you're already on the outside looking in with two losses. If you lose another one, you're only going to fall further down the rankings. Now, there's still a lot of football left to be played, obviously. Like, we don't know what's going to happen when Indiana eventually loses a game, if they eventually lose a game. So there's still a lot of questions that are left unanswered. But I think that a South Carolina team with three losses, assuming they run the rest of their schedule here, I think there might be a better argument for them than Georgia, which is nuts, but I think it's accurate.
I completely agree. All right, what the question we have to ask on a Wednesday morning, what's your biggest gripe, what's your biggest lesson, what's your biggest takeaway from the rankings last night?
I don't like that Ole Miss is below Alabama. I would have put Ole Miss above Alabama, although I understand because Alabama blitzed LSU, but I would have put Ole Miss just slightly above Alabama, and I probably would have put both of those teams above Miami. You know, Miami had the benefit of being ranked so high because they were unbeaten, but now that they have a loss, you look at kind of their last six games or so and say they were treading defeat on a weekly basis, and their coach is not great. I trust DeBoer and, hilariously, Lane Kiffin more than I trust Mario Cristobal, so I didn't love that Miami was above those two teams, but I probably would have put Ole Miss slightly above Alabama.
And by Miami, of course, you mean Cam Ward and those other guys that are down there with him.
Yeah, I mean, he didn't have a whole lot of help. He didn't play great against Georgia Tech. He didn't have a whole lot of help, but it really was. I thought that was more of a Mario Cristobal game than anything. And we know he's going to have one every single year. It's hilarious that the last 2 years have been against the same opponent. And the opponent, I mean, Georgia Tech's better this year than they were last year. But, like, that's not a game that you should be losing if you are Miami, especially if you're Cam Ward wanting to get a Heisman Trophy nod. Like, you have to win that football game. So I'm a little surprised that they are ranked as highly as they are. I would not have had Miami at 9. I would have had them at least at 10.
Yep, nope. I'm in the exact same boat on that one. Talk to me about these Indiana Hoosiers, because on one hand, I've told Brad Evans and Ryan Horvath on BetMGM tonight, and I've said it on this show, I've said it on Bet for the Cycle, I think it's time to recognize Indiana's not a gimmick team. That's a pretty good little football team. On the flip side, it was an ugly game against a, at best, and to compliment Michigan, mediocre Michigan team. Indiana is the definition of they ain't played nobody, Paul. And so the question mark is 5 justified? Should the week schedule have bunt them back? Where are you with the Hoosiers?
I think 5 is justified because they're unbeaten. Although, to be honest, I would have had them at 6, actually, now that I say that, because I would have put BYU ahead of them just because I think some of the wins on BYU's schedule are a little more impressive than that on Indiana's schedule. The question for them, and this has always been my biggest issue, Rob, with the committee, is that they really set themselves up to not have to do a lot of heavy lifting because they know that Indiana and Ohio State are going to play one another. So they're kind of just ranking them where they're ranking them now, knowing that that game is going to really force their hand and they can kind of get away without having any, respectfully, any blood on their hands, right? So I think putting them at five is fine. You're right, though. That game against Michigan wasn't exactly the prettiest. I do love how they fight, though. I mean, they kind of feel like, in a sense, a team of destiny. I don't know that we have those a ton in college football because largely there's such a talent discrepancy between the really good teams and everybody else. But they just find ways to win, and their coach is great, man. I mean, Kurt Cignetti is wonderful. I know he was recruiting in your area when he was at JMU. He probably still is because he's a genius. I love watching them play, but it is apparent, and we'll see this when they play Ohio State. They're a dog, but they don't have talent the way that some of these other teams have talent. So like when they play Ohio State, we'll see that firsthand. But I like where they're ranked now. I like that they're giving the respect to the unbeaten teams.
Ice cold bars. Ice cold bars from Kurt Cignetti. All right, and I know we're out. I know we're away from that game, but just a quick thought on it. Indiana is, again, I say they're the illustration of they ain't played nobody, Paul, but they do carry a team that is ranked inside the top seven in just about every damn defensive category against the rush, which we know is what the Buckeyes do. It's what they want to do. I don't want the game on the arm of Will Howard if it is at all avoidable. Are there dogs enough on the Hoosier defensive line to take away the Buckeye run game and at least threaten an upset?
Yeah, I definitely think so. Threatening an upset's a really good way of putting that because I do think they are a threat to Ohio State. I can't imagine. I haven't looked. I would imagine that line is going to be like 8.5 for Ohio State. So it will be a pretty substantial line for a game that's going to be between two top five teams, certainly. But I do think there's a realistic opportunity because you're right. Will Howard is a good quarterback. He's not a great quarterback, and he's prone to making mistakes. There's a reason that he's playing at Ohio State and not Kansas State. And that's not because Ohio State loved him so much that they wanted him. It's because he was going to lose his job at Kansas State. They were going to go in a different direction, and then Ohio State lost Kyle McCord and then looking around saying, we don't know who we're going to play at quarterback. And they went and they got Will Howard, and he's had some good moments. He's had some not-so-good moments. Indiana's a team that's not going to make a lot of mistakes. I think that's probably their biggest calling card right now. So if you end up making mistakes, they're going to take advantage of those mistakes. So I definitely think there's a threat to upset Ohio State. I, however, though, would not be putting my money on them upsetting Ohio State.
All right, I know we talked about them just a couple of minutes ago. Real quick, one question for the two teams we cover, and we'll start with South Carolina. Man, it feels to me like 9-3 is on the table. Missouri was the most, I've been telling you all year, Missouri's the most overrated team in the Southeastern Conference. That's a winnable game. You got Wofford in the middle, and then you got to go to Clemson. But that's where Louisville went down and didn't just beat Clemson, but beat Clemson. I think Shane Beamer's got 9-3 on the table. And if he gets there, the critics of Shane have got to shut up at that point.
Yeah, I mean, that'd be a 6-game winning streak to close the season. And you'd be doing everything in your power to put yourself in the conversation for getting into the college football playoff. You probably miss out at 9-3, but you're at least knocking on the door, which, I mean, would you have ever imagined that in the month of October when you're sitting there 3-3, back-to-back losses to Ole Miss and Bama? Like, you're probably not. So, you know, I think it's funny that Heather Dinich has been getting picked apart for this 3-loss team. Like, Eli Drinkwitz didn't say the same thing this week because he's trying to fight for his guys, knowing that nobody really respects Missouri this year the way that we did last year. If they beat Mizzou and they beat Clemson, obviously it's got to be Wofford. Like, that's not – they're not tripping on Wofford. But if they beat those two teams, that's multiple ranked wins on the season and to close the season. And then you look at some of the other games with the exception of Ole Miss – they played Bama really hard. They played LSU really hard. I think not only are you shutting up the Beamer critics, he's likely getting an extension for going 9-3 in the SEC. And then depending what happens elsewhere around the country, you might be able to squeeze into that 12 or 11 spot in the college football playoff. You know, the SEC is so crazy this year, Robin. You know this. The SEC is so crazy because there's really not a dominant team, which means they're playing like the Big 12 normally plays, where they just kind of cannibalize each other because everyone's on the same playing field. I think that leaves the door open for South Carolina to do something really crazy.
All right, 45-second answer. The Clemson Tigers, they lose to Louisville at home. We talked about that one a second ago. They turn around. They go up to Blacksburg. It was a day game, which was the best possible thing for Clemson. They got Pitt this weekend. Season is on the line. There's a chance for a backdoor at large. There is a chance with some help to sneak into the ACC title game. What's this game feel like to you this weekend?
It is season on the line. You have to win this game. They need to win the ACC championship to get in. I don't think there's a scenario where they get that backdoor at large unless you know what hits the fan the final few weeks of the season. So they need to win out, and they need to get themselves the ACC championship game.
Denton Day joins us every Wednesday to talk college football. We may even try to talk him into the NFL and the NBA the rest of the year after football's over. He is the host of College Football Overtime on Sirius XM and on 106.7 The Fan. My man, great as always to have you, big dog. Thanks for coming by.
Fellas, appreciate it. Go Cox.
Always our pleasure. Denton Day is on the Cody Decker bandwagon. You love to hear it. You know what else you love to hear? Lonzo reading a sports flash. Boom! Nailed that one.
Yes, you did. You may exit the room now.
Thank you.
Way to go, you. The second college football playoff rankings have dropped, and Oregon once again holds the number one seed, followed by Ohio State, Texas, and Penn State in the top four. The rest of the top 12 includes Indiana, BYU, Tennessee, Notre Dame, Miami, Alabama, Ole Miss, and Georgia, Boise State, SMU, and Texas A&M are just outside the top 12, while Colorado is at 17, and Clemson and South Carolina stacked at 20 and 21. Despite a 35-point night from LaMelo Ball, the Hornets got stung by the Magic last night, 114-89, dropping their season record to 4-7. We are 3 days away from boxing history as the knockout machine. Iron Mike Tyson takes on the most punchable face in boxing, Jake Paul. Stay tuned right here for the hype leading up to the fight, which goes down Friday night. We are The Fan, Upstate.
I'm Jenna Fisher.
And I'm Angela Kinsey.
And together we have the podcast Office Ladies.
Just because we finished rewatching The Office does not mean we're going anywhere.
Every Wednesday, we'll be sharing even more exclusive stories from The Office and our friendship with brand new guests. Plus, you can revisit all the Office Ladies rewatch episodes every Monday with new bonus tidbits before every episode.
So follow and listen to Office Ladies on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.